Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
All right, number one on what's trending, the news out of Kauffman Stadium today. The Royals announcing they have parted ways with hitting coach Terry Bradshaw, which, look, the last couple weeks in particular, there's been more and more pressure for the Royals to make some sort of change, both with Terry Bradshaw. Some people would still like to see maybe a change with the pitching coach, Cal Eldred, as well. But that is a big shift, of course, with Terry Bradshaw not part of the operations. Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo in the release was quoted as saying, "Baseball is constantly shifting, and we have to continue to self-evaluate to make sure we're giving our players everything they need to be successful at the highest levels of baseball. Our results so far haven't matched what we're capable of, and we all share accountability in that."
I think it probably goes a long way of we were asking, just show some sign that you're frustrated with how this is starting, that it's not just it's cold or, you know, things happen or we're unlucky. They're not even injured. It's not even, I mean, I know Mondesi's hurt, but,
no, but you're right. They've been pretty healthy.
If you walked into a season and said, "We're going to get Mondesi for 162 games, then you did that to yourself anyway. Other than Mondesi, they're a pretty healthy team. So they can't even lean on that to be, it's not like they're the White Sox. They're missing half their roster. So that's got to be there as well. Next up on what's trending, NBA action last night wrapped up two game sevens. The Mavericks absolutely steamrolled the Suns. Like, not close for 1 second. Luka Doncic had the same number of points as the Suns did in the first half. He was clearly in a good mood in post-game and in the middle of the game. And the Celtics got past the Bucks with absolute ease as well, 109-81. The Eastern Conference Finals won't start until tomorrow. The Heat will take on the Celtics for that first game, and then the Western Conference will kind of go every other day here going forward.
Yeah, the two game sevens on the NBA side, just wild results. Neither one. Whereas on like hockey, the game sevens were incredible. Both went to overtime. The NBA game sevens left a lot to be desired. It was more just amazed by how the Suns got dismantled in the way they did by Dallas and Spencer Dinwiddie, and it was an incredible win. And, you know, Jason Kidd was out coaching a guy that I think was, what, the coach of the year a year ago, or coach of the year this year, as a matter of fact. And he was the better coach, clearly, yesterday as well. Next up on what's trending, something we're going to dive deeper into in a second, though, and that's Melvin Ingram, who I really thought was going to come back to Kansas City. I think a lot of people did, based off of the Chiefs putting that tender on him that made it a little tougher, perhaps, we thought, and more likely for him to come back. Instead, multiple reports suggest that Melvin Ingram is going to sign with the Miami Dolphins. The dollar amount hasn't been reported yet, but Melvin Ingram, a nice addition for the Dolphins, was a nice veteran presence that I think we thought the Chiefs could bring back. So now I think they still need to go acquire a veteran, whether it's a free agent or, as you know, maybe go trade for somebody. I do think they need another veteran body as an edge rusher for this team. Otherwise, you're putting a lot of pressure on George Karloftis as a rookie to come in and have an instant impact.
You are, and I assume that they'll look for something, but for all I would... I'm going to be the voice of reason for everybody to be like, "Oh, they had, if you know, I mean, if they're not going to bring back Ingram, they've got another plan." They have not shown a willingness to spend a single dime in the free agent defensive end market, which has been high, admittedly. The price tags have been high. That's why Jerry Hughes getting $10 million was a troubling sign for the Melvin Ingram deal, whose numbers have not come out yet for what he's going to sign for in Miami. But that's why 2 days ago, I think it was, I'll give Arrowhead Pride credit, I think it was Ron Kopp, saying, the Jerry Hughes number could be a problem for the Chiefs and Melvin Ingram. Turns out it was, because there was another team willing to spend more money. Next up on what's trending, the Packers and Pro Bowl corner Jaire Alexander are finalizing, or have now finalized, a four-year, $84 million contract extension. The record for individual, $21 million for a defensive back per year. and also a record of $30 million signing bonus. Alexander will see $42.5 million by March, and yet still somehow his hit, his cap hit for this year will be $1 million. So they're making room because they want to make as much room as possible because they probably want to add somebody else if they can to try to give Aaron Rodgers another shot. They got to try to win these titles, but they're going to lock up Alexander for some time.
Must be nice knowing by next March. Yeah, I'm getting that kind of change heading my way. That's incredible. Good for him. He's a hell of a corner, but that's crazy.
What do you tell your financial investor? Like, hey, so I'm at $30 million next week. Can you just, you know, don't put it in Luna coin or what was it? What was the one?
The recent one was Luna.
Luna, was that the one that went to zero? Don't put it in that, please.
That's the crypto recently that everybody was hyping up and crashed very quickly. Lastly, on what's trending, maybe getting closer to result on the Deshaun Watson potential suspension. Ian Rappaport and Justina Anderson reporting the NFL will be in Texas this week to talk to Deshaun Watson about their investigation. And usually, according to Justina Anderson, this is the final step in these sort of investigations. So maybe we're getting closer to a resolution on if, when, how long Deshaun Watson could be suspended by the NFL. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. That is still the biggest question heading into this football season is for the Browns. Their whole season is predicated really on how many games is he going to miss.
Yeah, but they gave him a four-year fully guaranteed contract, so they're planning on starting.
Oh, long-term, but I'm just saying for this season, it changes the whole dynamic of the AFC North. If Deshaun Watson only gets suspended for like four games and it's not a six-plus game suspension, then they can survive that four-game suspension. And we all know, as a football player, Deshaun Watson was one of the better quarterbacks in the league prior to everything going on. But his off-the-field situation, is it going to cost him a full season? Eight games? None at all? The NFL, I don't think anybody has a good grasp for sure because the way the NFL handles suspensions and things like that. So we were talking about Melvin Ingram, who reportedly is going to head to Miami as they just continue to kind of go all in this year with their approach, new coaching staff, and they've been spending money. They've been trading away assets left and right. Haven't seen the dollar amount yet for Melvin Ingram, but we know what the Chiefs were going to end up paying him, 110% of what they paid him a year ago. And so what was the tender? One for 4.45, something like that is where it was headed. And it seemed like the Chiefs were in a good spot to retain him. And I'll give credit to Mitch Holthus. I'll play the audio. He was on with the Fesco in the Morning last week, and he mentioned that Ingram wanted to be in Kansas City, but he gave us some insight saying at that time that he felt like Melvin Ingram was just looking for more money, and money in particular.
Like, who's out there? Who's going to bring a drone and drop a bunch of cash on my front step? And he's looking up there in the sky and there's no drones, but he knows where he can go and where he likes. He loved it here last year. He loved it. And we love him. I mean, the fact that the impact he made on the locker room, but think about what his career had been like up until last year. And the fact that these guys, if you've been around a chance and you're just yearning to win and yearning to win, but now you walk into a door and from the first day, Patrick was talking about this last night. He was talking about the guys he's been working with and the other guys that are new that come in, and they said, like, the first day, they will tell Patrick, we see now why you guys win. There's a culture here. There's a feeling here. And I think that same thing, in going back to the discussion, is that kind of feeling or aura of realizing, hey, trust the guys around you and these coaches, and you'll have a chance to win more than any time in your career. And Melvin Ingram sensed that. He lived it last year. I think he'd like to live it again, but he's still looking for the drone.
And the drones of money, as Mitch was talking about, and it looks like that existed down in Miami. And look, last year, when he ended up signing with the Steelers, they offered him more money. So, hey, nobody's going to fault anybody for going after the money, but that clearly has been the
priority. That's his primary motivator.
That, you know, it's not everybody's like, but that very publicly, almost in a way, everybody's kind of realized this, that he has, you know, were the Chiefs caught off guard by yesterday? Maybe not as much as everybody else was.
The tender? Probably not.
Maybe not. I think, though, the consensus publicly, though, was once they placed the tender on him that, oh, they're in really good shape to bring him back. We talked about on this show, and clearly it, now in hindsight, maybe that was just a way of protecting their investment that, hey, we're not going to bring him back because the Dolphins are going to offer him X amount or somebody will. And maybe they're maybe Ingram's camp told the Chiefs, hey, this is likely the dollar amount that it's going to take. And the Chiefs place a tender on him and now they get a comp pick. Now, that doesn't do you any good for this year, though. That's something you can have next year in the draft. But for this year, I still think they need to go add a veteran. And the options are very, very slim. We've mentioned Jadeveon Clowney, who the Chiefs have had every opportunity the last couple of years to bring in.
And have never shown any interest.
We've had Nate Taylor on the show weeks ago, and he re-emphasized it again when he was on with CDOT last week that the Chiefs really haven't had much interest in bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. And that's where you wonder, is there a move that happens closer to training camp via a trade or something like that? Because I think they need another veteran to rotate in on the defensive line.
They're waiting until it gets to bottom basement pricing. Because it still isn't. Like, the price hasn't fallen out on defensive ends. We've pointed that out a couple of times. The biggest issue here is I already didn't think the pass rush was good, even with Ingram. Even if I was assuming Ingram was here, I was like, well, they're bad. They're not, like, the worst in the league, but they're not good. They're near the bottom. They're bottom 10. That's, I mean, then that was being probably semi-optimistic if you were like, maybe they're, like, the 23rd. No. They weren't a good pass rush before, and now they're worse. I know the sack numbers were not big for Melvin Ingram, but this is one of those, I'll let go the, oh, it's getting pressure version of, you know. Like,
he clearly made an impact.
Yes, obviously. And had he played an entire season for Kansas City, I do think he would have finished with four or five sacks, whatever it would have been, and was good in some of the other areas, which they needed. They need a couple of guys, and this is where Karloftis, like, they need a couple of guys to get 4 or 5 sacks, because they don't have anybody on their damn team who's getting them 12. Jones is it. And even that, especially now that there's no Ingram, is a long shot. Because here's the problem. It's who, like, Jones is still getting every double team. Every time, forever. Because why? Why else would you bother double teaming Karloftis when he's never proven anything in the league? Double teaming Turk Wharton or Michael Dana? Double teaming Frank Clark? He's a 5-sack player. You don't double team those guys. Unless you're completely trying to wipe him out of the thing. It's just, it doesn't make sense. Their pass rush is, if they go into the season like this, it might be as bad as it was last year, which stinks. Because even in that case, even if Karloftis is well, he's just the Melvin Ingram replacement. You don't have anyone behind him still. It's the same situation you were in last year.
I think the only reason why I softened on the idea that they had to go out and acquire a veteran is because we kind of assumed that Melvin Ingram was going to be back. Now that we know that's off the table,
That's back up.
I absolutely think, you know, look, there's a few veteran free agents out there that you don't get all that excited about, but I think almost it's a necessity. Otherwise, it's the trade route where you can actually get someone with a bigger impact. But the trade market, is that something you're willing to do? Do you need to get the Orlando Brown extension done before you're willing to do something like that in terms of the money on the books? We know right now they have, what, $14 million or so in cap space. Are they just going to roll that over? Or is there another,
that was their plan.
Or is there another move to come? But now that Melvin Ingram's not part of the equation, I think you have to add another veteran one way or the other.
The issue is like it's always short versus long-term gains. They're a Super Bowl contending team without Melvin Ingram. They're certainly not good enough on the pass rush without Melvin Ingram. But do you, if you know, like if you know that next year and these other years you have these other contracts you want to pay out, you got these big plans, you might still have to buy defensive end next year. Do you want to eat in too far into that money this season in order to stop gap 1 year? Because, like, going for Quinn or Hicks or Clowney, these are very short-term solutions. And you're eating into long-term future problems and money by spending it. Because anything you don't spend this year, as you know in the NFL, you can roll over. So I don't know that I'm pushing super hard to say that that's what I want to do.
And the Robert Quinn route, again, he's at 18.5 sacks for the Bears last year. He's 32 years old. By the end of his contract, he'll be 34. This year, it's about a $17 million cap hit. And then the other years, it's still a high number, but the dead cap is $4 million. So if you didn't like what you got there, you can move on from him for $4 million before age 34 season. And so I think if the Bears are actually interested in moving on from him, I don't know how you're not if you're the Chiefs. But unless they restructure something else, they're not in position currently financially to actually trade for them. If you just do the simple math on it, they don't have to fit that current cap space. But that $2 million, if they get, because we had Pete Sweeney in last week, and he said maybe there's some thought that Orlando Brown Jr. doesn't get an extension and he ends up playing on the franchise tag. That's $16 million on the books right now that if you got an extension done with Orlando Brown Jr., likely you could move around that money and the cap hit goes considerably down if you needed to.
Nick, are you proud of him? He mentioned Robert Quinn on the show and did not mention the number of sacks he had.
Oh, I did.
Last season.
I did, though.
You did?
I did.
I missed it.
Yeah. I tried to soften it, you know, there. I tried to stay away because I know Nick loves when I mention 18 and a half sacks from Robert Quinn a season ago.
He'll never have double-digit sacks again in his career.
He doesn't need to. I'll trade a third-round pick.
Okay,
give him the money this year.
Give me the over-under. Give me the over-under for next year.
Over-under eight sacks for Robert Quinn. I'd sign up for eight sacks right now from Robert Quinn. I'd give him a third-round pick. I'd pay him $16 million. Tell me a better option for the Chiefs pass rush next year.
Just to suck and deal with it.
I guess crap is an option. You're right. Yes.
They've done that several other times.
Yeah, I mean,
at other positions, including last year.
Some would say that was the option that they chose last year as well.
Run it back. Be bad. Deal with it. Keep drafting defensive ends in the first round until they're good at football.
It's just funny, though, like, in all seriousness, we have these conversations about, like, how, like, you guys, we all are agreeing about the pass rush right now, and, like, you guys more than anybody else last year complained about the pass rush, and understandably so. And now that there's potentially an option, you guys have no interest in trading for anybody.
Because it's a
better
cost benefit. It's the same thing as Tyreek Hill. There is a level in which it makes sense to make a certain move, and then there's a level in which it doesn't.
Tell me why it doesn't make sense, honestly, though.
He's $16.5 million. He's 33 years old, and that 18.5 sacks is an anomaly. Well, then he's $20 million for 1 year. I'm just spreading it out across 2 years. So he's $20 million for one, because, like, I got to pay the $4 million. So he's a $20 million player for 1 year of production. He's 33 years old.
Yep.
And I think the best case scenario is I can guarantee, when's he turn 33?
He's 32.
When does he turn 33?
I'll look up his birthday.
This would be the argument.
Does the date of which he turns 30?
Yes, if he's 33 during the football season, that's what I consider.
What if he turns 33 the day after the football season?
He's 31. He'll be 32 in 2 days. So he'll be 32 all season.
Okay, so he's also not 32. None of us know his age, apparently.
So he's even younger by 2 days. Okay. In 2 days, 32 applies.
32 years old. He's $20 million. Like, there is a cost of, like, nope, I'm fine. Like, you guys had a limit of what you would be willing to spend on Tyreek Hill in a per-year contract. I feel similarly to that of Orlando Brown Jr., who's looking to be the highest-paid left tackle in the NFL. I'm like, no, I'm not going to make you the highest-paid left tackle in the NFL.
You also just told me, though, Jerry Hughes is getting how much money?
$10 million.
Okay, and so I don't think so.
I wouldn't pay him that either.
But what I'm saying is that's the market, right? So the 17 doesn't sound as bad for 1 year. A guy that did, you can say all you want, and I agree with you, he's not going to ever get to 18.5 again, but the guy did get 18.5 sacks, and so $17 million for 1 year isn't as crazy to me.
Market value, it is, but I also wouldn't pay that, and the Chiefs have proven they won't. Like, because that's the thing to consider in all of that, is the Chiefs could have paid Melvin Ingram whatever he's going to get paid in Miami.
Sure.
They had the room in the cap space to pay him and the need at the position.
And they chose not to. Yep.
And they tendered him, so they obviously wanted Melvin Ingram to stay. And they were still like, we're good. They tried to offer Tyreek Hill a lot of money. Yep. And it got to the point where they're like, we're fine. And I think that's probably what's going to happen with Robert Quinn. I don't think they're going to get a guy like that. I think they're going to find...
We would agree, though, they're weaker at defensive end than they are at wide receiver, or were even the minute Tyreek Hill left.
Yeah, there's got to be some. There's got to be another option. There's got to be a third door. You know what I mean?
Nope. That's it. Be bad.
What about... Okay.
Sign Robert Quinn and be okay.
This is bogus, because every other team, when they're like, we want to get better at this thing... And then all of a sudden, like the Raiders, we want a better wide receiver. Oh, they have Devontae Adams. Oh, the Dolphins want to get better. Oh, now we have Tyreek Hill. Why can't the Chiefs just do that at pass rush?
For who? TJ Watt?
You tell me. I'm asking.
Who are they stealing?
Chase Young doesn't have. He's still on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
What if he says, you know what? I hate the name Commanders. I'm out.
It's just specifically about the name, not the horribly run organization.
He's like, Dan Snyder's a great man, even better owner. But I hate the name Commanders. I'm out. And I don't like the shade of red and gold. I want a different shade of red and gold.
He doesn't like the maroon. He wants more of a McDonald's red.
He goes, I played for Ohio State. That was scarlet. I made it very clear I didn't want to play for maroon.
Makes me think of 90s sedans.
Okay, hypothetically, Chase Young's like, I want out.
Yes, I'd give up as many draft picks as they want for him.
And pay him whatever he wants?
Yes.
What if he wants $34 million a year?
He is the kind of player that you just make top defensive end money
to. Are you sure?
I'll make him the highest paid defensive end in the NFL. I'll pay him whatever TJ Watt made. That's what he wants. Fine.
Okay, but he kind of had a down year last year after a really good rookie season.
But to me, he's different than...
Don't entertain this too long, Cody.
Orlando Brown.
Don't even entertain this too long.
I'm going now.
Yeah, what do you... Don't do that to
yourself.
Robert
Quinn was second in the league in sacks. Isn't he the solution? But it's like that number is an anomaly. Not the consistent 15 sack guy.
Is Nick Bosa, is he on a new deal yet?
No, he's not.
He's not.
Okay, well, you have to make the call, right? Right, Gold?
No. No, you don't.
Who would you like them to sign?
I'm the one providing solutions. Gold's been saying Robert Quinn for a month now.
You know my solution, all right? And you guys don't like it, but I'm sticking to it until it no longer is a possibility, damn it, all right? That's what I'm doing.
You're going to be mentioning this like week 8. It's going to be mid-season trade candidates.
That's right. Robert Quinn, week one's. Who do the Bears play week one? Robert Quinn's going to get 2.5 sacks in the first week of the season. I'm going to say, I told you.
You're bringing him back.
I told you. No, the Bears are obviously in a weird spot. They're not, by the time they maybe are a contender again ever, Robert Quinn will be long gone. So that's why the rumors have been that maybe they'd be willing to move on for them.
If you missed the news earlier, Terry Bradshaw, the Royals hitting coach, has been let go by the organization. But then it bleeds into the other questions of, okay, you've made a move. You've proven you're serious. You've proven that you're underperforming based on what your expectations and belief in this team are. At some point, we got to have a conversation about the pitching, right? Because of all the prospects that came up through the system, you got one pitching well right now. His name is Daniel Lynch. Pitched yesterday. Really nice start again. He's got an ERA in the mid-3s. Things are going well for old Danny Lynch. Carlos Hernandez on the other side looks primed to be sent down. Jackson Coars had to rework his entire, according to everything I've heard, they are changing his delivery. They're making changes because he couldn't get outs and then was bad when he got sent down to AAA. And he's coming off a really good AAA start. So maybe whatever adjustments, changes they're making are showing a difference. But I mean, I got to ask the same question, right? When are the young pitchers going to perform to the level of which been selling me on?
Yeah, I mean, I think today's move to move on from Terry Bradshaw is, I keep saying, but it's a kind of a warning shot to everybody else in the organization. In particular, I would think Cal Eldred as well, that the results aren't acceptable. It's what fans have been saying, but now it's the first move today that we saw from the organization agreeing with you that it's not acceptable publicly. But I'm sure inside the organization for weeks they've been having very similar feelings, but just overall on a public note, there's been a lot of excuses that have been thrown out there for why certain things haven't gone certain ways, and this today was the first sign of like, all right, enough with the excuses, we're going to make a move, we're going to move on from Terry Bradshaw. And I'm with you, obviously Cal Eldred in the pitching end is next up. That's really where they've been under the crosshairs for a while. But it puts more of, I think, an onus on them and guys in the clubhouse understanding that the organization is actually willing to make a move because the results aren't acceptable.
Is Singer going to make Hernandez's next start?
I mean, he would make
JJ told us that they were hoping he would be up soon.
I mean, it
lines
up.
We knew that he couldn't get in by the time John Heasley made his start.
It lines up now.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like the logical thing. And this isn't even, think about how high we were on Carlos Hernandez last year. So this is a real fall from grace. Like, there was a time last year when I asked the question, I think just on Twitter, and I had said, okay, let's re-rank, you know, the same thing. Like, I still think Daniel Lynch is the pitcher I'm the highest on. It's clearly that Carlos Hernandez is second. And I had multiple people respond to that, including now Royals VP of communication, Sam Mellinger, say, are you sure it's not Carlos Hernandez one? And Lynch too? Are you sure you don't have that order reversed? So when
I was
got,
impressed by like, Carlos Hernandez more than anybody heading into the season.
I know. I just don't know what happened there. And I know his fastball speed is down, but that in its own right cannot explain a jump in ERA nearly double that of last year, can it? 2 miles an hour in your fastball? I mean, unless all of his deception was in the speed and not in anything else, they've just got like, it's frustrating that we've had this conversation about every single young starter who's come up. Singer, Coar, Lynch, Hernandez, Bubich. We've had to have this identical conversation now 5 or 6 times over.
From the 913, if they were serious, they would have fired Cal today as well. Eldridge is horrible. There's nothing to develop him at the big league level. I'm trying to think the last time an organization, do you have an example where they fired their hitting and would fire a pitching coach in the same day?
I don't remember it ever happening. So I'm not saying it didn't, but
yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it sends a message. We'll see what happens over the next week or two. Couple weeks, really. but just in terms of where this team's performance is, they're back at Kauffman Stadium.
It's a warning shot to everybody else who's not performing.
And
players, like, too, by the way.
I was about to say, is it a warning shot to the players?
Absolutely.
Yes. Which ones, though? The ones
Santana,
that matter?
Santana, O'Hearn.
Yeah, I mean, the players aren't...
The guys who aren't getting, you know, like, even guys like Witt, who just hadn't hit enough.
Yeah. Ultimately, their performance got Terry Bradshaw fired, right? And that's not something that I'm sure sits great with the players in that clubhouse. Like, they know why Terry Bradshaw lost his job, because they're not performing. And so that's how you send that. That's why it sends a message to the clubhouse as well, by making this move.
And now that they're not performing, they're not going to blame their golden child, Alex Umwalt, a guy they absolutely love inside of that organization. Like, can't decide if they think he's like a perfect GM, or but they love him in this organization.
Okay, so you fire that guy, you bring him up, and the Royals continue to suck offensively.
Then
so
it's
then
players.
It's not it's
players, yeah, yeah.
Then it wasn't Terry Bradshaw's fault.
So did they bring Terry Bradshaw back in that situation?
That's not
They say, sorry, we made a mistake.
Oopsie, our bad.
Coming up next, Cody did bring up a scenario involving one of the other golden childs, perhaps, of the organization, and I don't think this is actually in the cards. I'll tell you what that scenario is next.
Cody and Gold.
The doctor's evaluation was too much bone in your foot. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to fuse it all together. We're going to make one super bone. That's their solution to this.
What's a super bone?
On 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwert with you. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 10 minutes or so. Also, good to have Nick back. He was gone on Friday, as we all know.
Hey, guys.
Another flight, which means likely another incident. And yes, another incident happened with Nick involved in airplanes at KCI.
It was not an incident.
Well, it sounded
authorities
like
authorities were not alerted.
You sure that there was
not a scene?
There was physical contact made. There was... Right?
That's so... That's such a ridiculous thing to say.
There was physical contact, though.
There was.
Not by me. Not
so
by me.
We'll get to that. I also want to ask about...
I did not initiate contact with anyone.
Okay. So there was physical contact. We'll get to that.
There were FAA rules broken.
Yes, there was. And also, I do want to find out from Nick about the short etiquette on the airplane based off of his earlier complaint from last week that he doesn't think anybody should wear shorts on an airplane.
Just
any men.
I do actually have an update on
okay,
that.
So we'll get to that as well here before we wrap up the noon hour. But we were just talking about the Royals, and of course, again, the news today, they moved on from their hitting coach, Terry Bradshaw. And earlier, you threw out an argument for potentially a guy being sent down, and that would be Bobby Witt Jr. And I don't get it whatsoever, man. I'll be honest. I don't know who's saying it. It makes no sense for me whatsoever that that's actually in the cards for a team that can't hit anyway. And then you want to send down the guy that actually is top five in hitting for the team. And if the argument is that, well, there's, you know, he needs to refine some things, well, let him do it at the big leagues. He hasn't even been up that long. So I don't know who's playing this, putting this out there that has you talking about it.
I'm not advocating for it. I think that guys can learn in the big leagues more than the Royals and other organizations have given them credit before. I think it originally started to pop up because Jared Kelenic, the young number one prospect in the Mariners system, has come up and he has struggled.
And he got sent down.
So he got sent down last year, and now he's back with the big league club again, and then got sent down again after another slow start of the big league club. To be clear, Bobby Witt Jr. has outperformed him. He's already been better than Kelenic was. He's not at that level. The big improvement we've seen from Bobby Witt Jr. over the last 3 weeks of this month have been power. Same average, same on-base percentage, still chasing bad pitches. Some of the same problem that I would say a lot of young hitters have in the major leagues. The only difference is, as of right now, he's hitting for a lot more power, and he's hitting a lot better when he hits near the bottom of the lineup. Sixth and seventh is where he's doing most of his damage. Anytime they try to get him up to first or second, things don't go particularly well. I only was asking because other teams would do this with a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. This would not be uncommon practice for a lot of Major League Baseball teams. I don't necessarily get it. It doesn't make sense to me just because...
No, Kelenic also has had 400-plus at-bats at the big league level and hasn't been able to figure it out. Bobby Witt Jr. at this point, how many at-bats are we even at? We're at 120.
Yeah, the first time Kelenic got sent down, he was not at 400.
I understand that, but this is all... I mean, this is... Maybe this is also, again, why they fired their hitting coach today, but Andrew Benintendi's batting 316. Hunter Dozier's batting 282. Michael A. Taylor, 228. And then guess who's has the fourth best batting average on the team? Bobby Witt Jr. So like that, you're gonna remove that bat. So
and again, that's not the only thing. We care about slugging and OPS and all those things, which has improved significantly in the month of May versus March and April.
And you so he still has a higher slugging. If we're just gonna go off a slugging percentage, he still has a higher slugging percentage than Nicky Lopez and Whit Merrifield and obviously Carlos Santana.
Well, so I would hope than those two guys. So like, Nicky's been awful, and Whit was statistically the worst hitter in baseball for a month. So like, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
No, but the point being is you like the idea that there's any conversation to send him down is. I haven't heard it from me. Like this seems like I'm not. I know you're saying people. Maybe I haven't seen it, and it seems like completely
false. There were a couple of national people who were asking those same questions about other young stars.
I heard some people too.
The other thing to keep in mind is J.J. Piccolo has said this, and other people have echoed this sentiment across baseball, which is there is still a big gap between AAA and the majors. And Kalinic and Bobby Wood Jr. are not the only guys getting out to slow starts in the majors. It's happening to a lot of different guys, and that might just be indicative of where the leap is we see between the two. One thing I did find really interesting in looking up all the Bobby Wood Jr. stuff and comparing it to Kalinic and to see if there was any argument for it. And again, I decided, no, I would just leave Bobby Wood Jr. up. I'd let him hit through any struggles he might be having, even though his power has really started to come along. And I just let him figure it out as, seems like as he goes, they go. This does not work for every single player, but specifically for Bobby Wood Jr., when he hits, they win. When he doesn't, there is a noticeable drop. He hits 271 with a 500 slugging percentage in their wins. Like, there is a noticeable change.
So 12 of the 32.
Yeah. Is it 12? They're 12 and 18?
12 and 20. I agree with you. My only point is, like, unfortunately, that's still only 12 games. But yes.
Yeah, but that's all the evidence I have at the
moment. It's more of an indictment on the rest of the team.
And the number of wins?
Yeah.
Probably. Just the sheer number of wins.
Look, I think he will be with the big league club the entire season. So I'm not worried about that.
Because the only other, by the way, if you just want to be a service time guy, the Royals aren't. But if you were running a club and you wanted to run it like the Rays, you'd send him down for 2 weeks to say he's fixing stuff so you can get an extra year of control. I again do not advocate for that. I think if a player is good enough, you should leave him at the big league level. But it's like, well, who would play instead of him? Right, a more than fair argument. And those arguments at those times in the first month of the season when he's struggling could have been Rivera or some of the other guys around. But now those guys are starting to take at bats from the guys who are struggling that are the veterans. And that's really what this is. You know, the main reason why I wouldn't do it, like if I had any say in it at all, I wouldn't do it, is this team looks better when they let the young players play. When it's Bobby Wood Jr. and Rivera and Isbell and Melendez and Daniel Lynch or whatever, I see promise for the most part, especially offensively. I see a decent shift in what seems like actual promising at bats, which is probably the whole reason a guy like Alex Zumwalt is being called up to replace Terry Bradshaw for the remainder of the season as it is. A guy who should be good for Bobby Wood Jr. because he helped Bobby Wood Jr. refine his swing in the minor leagues in general. But I mean, anytime a prospect, let's just say, struggles, these are the conversations that come up with this. And if you just straight up look like a 629 OPS over the course of the season, he's a below average hitter. Everyone in the Royals lineup is a below average hitter. I cannot argue with that. But one guy has options and you can work. You know what I'm saying? Like that's where people get in their head is that's the argument for it. But no, I think keeping him at the big league level is the right choice.
You think people are panicked now about how they're performing, but they at least are holding on to hope that they, but that big with Junior. Could you imagine if they, that's another reason why I don't see that happening as well. Yeah, this offense is bad enough with him. This offense has been bad enough with his bat in it, let alone if you took his bat out. So that's pretty cut and dry for me on this one.
It's just that simple, like his replacement would be worse.
Yes. And he, much like we say, you know, for this offense to ever get right this year, Whit Merrifield, Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., they all have to be part of the scenario.
Well, and the other argument would have been, why didn't you give Nicky or Whit Merrifield days off? You'd have to send them, but like, when do you give them days off when they were hitting worse than Bobby is now? So it would be a stark difference from how they've handled the approach of some of the other struggling
also,
hitters.
Also, the one thing we haven't even talked about lineup is that glove's pretty damn good.
Quite.
Pretty damn good.
But if I know anything about the Royals scouting and development, they probably have other people who are good at defense. Because
I thought we weren't talking about his glove anymore.
No, you said when he wasn't hitting 200. He's hitting 200.
What's he at? What's he currently at?
217. We're square.
Dipping a little bit, isn't it?
Two home runs, though, in the last three games. Yeah, something like that.
Starting hit for power now.
What's the slugging? What's the slugging at?
What do you think it's
this
ending?
Month?
What's the slash at? Yeah. What's going to be a slash?
Do you want all the way to OPS? Or?
No, I want full season slugging percentage. No, you know what? Give me his OPS.
629.
Okay. He's got to keep that bad boy above 500.
Well, that won't be a problem. Well,
I mean, he better.
He better.
Is Nicky Lopez is above 500? I mean.
All right, 600.
Yeah, that you might want to set a new. That's a better
gold
standard.
Keeps it above 600. Dips below 600. No more talking about his glove until he gets it back
deal
up.
Deal. That's okay? A deal. Fair enough. I feel pretty good about that. Fair enough.
Do you have league average OPS is 683, so he's just a little below average right now. Just a little.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Nick, and over in the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. Of course, the random question of the day brought to you by the Window Source of Kansas City. This question comes compliment a game in Arkansas over the weekend. I assume by now we all have the internet and did see Grant Harmon, who was the fan at, I think it was, Baum Walker Stadium there in Fayetteville, which we were in Fayetteville almost exactly 1 year ago today for the Cody and Gold road trip.
This is why I brought up the bird problem again. Remember the bird on the patio was a year ago after we came out from the road trip.
All together. Well, he caught a wild raccoon in the middle of a game.
With the amount of confidence that you would pick up a puppy
He took a photo of it.
Yeah, this guy was
with
calm.
His phone.
That would only have, there's like Arkansas. Three states where it could happen, and Arkansas is one of those three states where somebody could grab a wild raccoon by the neck and just be laughing about it.
Seem normal about it, and then help exit from the stadium.
Wasn't worried about getting bit, nothing.
So the random question I have for you today is, have you ever caught a wild animal?
What are you even wasting your time asking me this for?
You've never caught anything?
Well,
a wild animal.
Well, define
I caught.
Caught.
Have you ever even had to get, other than that bird, out of your house once? Have you had to get an animal out of your house? Basement? Garage?
I've caught a fish once in my life. That's about it, all right? That's far as we go. I've been face-to-face with a skunk before.
What'd you
opened
do?
Up the garage door. This is when I was really little. Somehow it got in the garage. Opened the garage door. I thought it was my dad coming home from work. And, like, because the garage door opened, but I guess he hadn't gone in yet.
What, the skunk opened the door? Oh, your dad. I was like, what's happening
skunk
here?
Punched skunk in the same.
What
the
I'm saying is.
He's got the numbers.
I think.
Your description made something like the skunk opened the door.
The door opened, right? And I was waiting to see if my dad was coming in. I was really little at the time. And opened the door, and the skunk is right there at the front, the door. And so, luckily, we closed the door before the skunk ran into the house.
Okay.
And I didn't get sprayed or anything. But my point being, no, of course I haven't caught an animal.
So, I've had to catch several possums over the years because they play dead, and then the dog picked him up. So, I've had to just, like, wield a possum out of the yard a couple of times.
Like
I caught a
frog.
I caught a bat.
No.
I caught a bat once. Oh, frogs, we caught those all the time.
Yeah, I used to catch frogs all the time.
I've caught a bat once, and I've gotten a bat out of the house a second time, but I didn't
physically
catch it. Why did
you have to catch the bat?
It was in the restaurant I worked, so it couldn't be in there anymore. Somebody had to...
I thought you were saying, like, you went outside to catch one.
No, it was inside the restaurant in which I worked, and so we just used, like, a pot and a colander, like one of those big cone colanders, to catch a bat.
I caught when I was... These were both when I was a youth.
A youth.
both around middle school to high school. Once there was like a giant, our whole neighborhood had sort of almost flooded. It was just like a flash flood. And there was a massive like snapping turtle in my neighbor's yard. It was an old woman. And so I went and picked it up with the shovel and then took it across the street and just dumped it in somebody else's yard. And then there was a time...
You put it in somebody else's yard. You were snapping turtle.
They had like a big field behind their house, so I dumped it in that. And then there was a time when I went back on the patio of my parents' house, and there was a snake, and it was stretched out against like the wall of the patio. My dog was out there, and I don't know what kind of snake it was. Probably not venomous because, you know, it's Kansas, so... But it was big, and my dog was freaking out and yapping at it, and the snake like yapped at my... at my dog's face, so I went into the garage and I grabbed a shovel, probably the same shovel I used to carry the snapping turtle away.
Same
and
shovel.
I just...
This is back when Nick wasn't harming wildlife.
Nope.
Boy, things
this
have really changed.
Probably should have let me finish this story, Gold, because I came back out with the shovel and I used it as a guillotine and chopped the snake's head off.
Oh,
so
man.
You really... like using irons and like metal objects to kill wildlife. What's your body count now, man?
Well, if you're counting all the sparrows, I went hunting as a kid, killed a few deers. I've killed dozens of pheasants and quails.
You had a hunting license for that. I'm talking about, you know, golf club.
Just like vigilante murders.
vigilante
I would say
murder.
We're probably, I mean, it's tough to tell, but I would say probably a half a dozen.
Wow. Okay. Including that, well, no, that geese at the golf course.
No, okay, if we're counting the sparrows, then, hundreds. I mean, we're talking dozens. I killed a lot of sparrows. I probably killed at least, you know, 15 to 20 sparrows.
He was following his grandmother's orders.
My mother's
orders. Your mother's orders. Against the sparrows.
Well, we were protecting the blue jays. It was a birdhouse meant for blue jays, and these sparrows were coming in and killing their babies.
Someone said a possum got in their house and they couldn't catch it. Oh, that's so much worse.
Yikes. There are two different people that have texted in. Psychologists say animal abuse is the first sign of a murderer, Nick. Someone else said people who kill animals sign of a psychopath.
Okay, I wasn't burning ants with a magnifying glass like Sid from Toy Story, okay? It's a little different. I'm not torturing kittens.
These weren't passion. They were crimes of opportunity.
Well, yeah, it was a snake in my backyard and I didn't want it to bite my dog, so... Chop that sucker's head off.
Why don't you just like scoot him somewhere like you did with the other?
I don't like snakes. I don't like snakes.
That feels like a particularly scary wild animal.
Yeah, it's a snake. And it was stretched all the way out too. It wasn't like coiled up so you could see how long it was. I was like,
I've had to protect baby bunnies several times from dog murder. But I never moved them because I figured what was I going to do if I moved them? Where was I going to move them to? Whatever their like parent bunny was, that was never going to go well. Like, so I just left them alone. That's several other wild animal encounters, but I mostly just tried to protect them from the dogs.
I once killed a wild hog with my bare hands. I wrestled it to the ground, and I put it in a chokehold. Uh-huh. Snapped its neck.
That's the random question of the day.
Since we're talking about your questionable behavior.
Yeah, while we're on Nick's behavior.
Why don't we have to parlay these? Why can't we spread them out?
You flew to Philadelphia this past weekend.
I didn't know you were going to say you killed a snake before this.
And my understanding is, based on what you had told us earlier, there was a physical confrontation and... It occurred at the airport.
Such a mischaracterization.
Hold on, let me see. You can clean it up if you would like, but I think I'm saying stuff that's actually pretty factual.
There was
physical contact at the airport involving an airline worker and you and an FAA violation. Those are facts.
Those are things that happen.
No, they're not. Those are not facts.
All right, tell me where I'm wrong. Was there an FAA violation?
There was an FAA violation.
Was there someone's hands placed on another individual's hands and you were involved?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
How did you brush? Okay. Explain what you think happened.
Okay. I'm going to give I went through the whole story earlier. If you want to go back and listen to it, you can do it in the podcast page from the first hour, but I'll give an abridged version of what happened. So I was going to get a beer. My flight was delayed, so I wanted to go get a beer from one of those little kiosks. They only sell the tall boys, like the giant, the Magnums, the 24-ounce bad boys. So I bought one, and I knew from a previous experience that they're supposed to tell you to open them, but they don't always do that. The person working doesn't always tell you to open them because they don't want you taking them onto airplanes. That is the FAA violation. The previous time I bought one, they didn't tell me to open it. So I inadvertently took it on the plane without knowing that I wasn't supposed to do that. This time around, the person did tell me to open it. I had my headphones on, so I acted like I didn't hear him. And as I'm walking past the guy, and he's an older dude, probably, you know, 65, 70 years old.
This 65-year-old guy's working at the airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doing his job. He did a good job, you know, enforcing the rules. As I'm walking past him, you know, I don't make eye contact with him. Again, I got my headphones on, so it's really easy to act like you don't hear anybody. And as I'm walking past him, he sort of just kind of puts his hand up and gently kind of just like, places it, assaults me.
He's trying to physically restrain you from breaking rules.
Yeah, but that's not his job. You know,
was like, son, do you mind go ahead and chugging that beer?
Look, this is your fault for wearing the headphones. He thought he couldn't get your attention by just speaking because you couldn't hear
that's
him.
That's what it was.
So he had to make physical contact in order to garner your attention.
So he assaulted me, right? So this man.
Now that's too far.
This man attacks me physically, and I can hear him say again,
you gotta open that.
Yeah, so you need to open that. But it was such a light. Actually, he touched me so gently.
You heard him twice, and you still ignored.
So he touched me so gently that I realized I could just again act as if I didn't feel it. So that's what I did, and I walked past him, and I took the beer on the plane, and I drank it, all 24 ounces.
Honestly, do you realize that when you go out in public and you do these things, you're a representative of this show?
No, I'm not.
You're a public.
No, I am not.
You're a public-facing show. There's only three members of this show. You're also representing 610, but we'll get to that in a minute. But just from this show's perspective, there are only three of us.
Yeah.
When you go out and do these things, like assault guy beer vendors at the airport,
okay,
that's
this.
A poor
Why
reflection
should,
on
okay,
us.
Okay, I bought this beer at the airport past security. Why shouldn't I be able to take it on the plane?
I'm not saying that there's... Because
they're not trying to get a bunch of drunk people on the airplane.
Bingo. They're worried you're
And if this is your behavior
you one,
before you drink,
can
we
you
imagine
five?
What it is when you're drinking?
Text line's also correct. I mean, taking Nick's headphones away at the airport's like taking away Superman's cape. It renders you useless. That
it
is
really
your
is.
Those
it
headphones,
really is.
If you forgot your headphones at the airport, what would you do if you didn't have them anymore? You wouldn't
I
be wouldn't, able to pull
I'd
off
go.
Your line cutting. You wouldn't have been able to do any of this stuff.
I'd turn around and go home.
It's the text line's kind of right. It's kind of a D-bag move that you pulled with that gentleman that was trying to do his job.
Do something about it.
Why do you think you're...
hey, do something about it. I keep doing it. Nobody's stopping me. So, can't be that big of a deal. Because I see all types of viral videos of people getting... And if... And like if like,
could you imagine there's a viral video of Nick? Oh, my
There will never
goodness.
Be. Because I...
Never,
you know what I want
to
do? You know what I want to do?
You feel like you're leaning towards that. If anything, these are all, like, lead-up crimes.
You know what I want to do when I go to the airport and when I fly? I want to be left alone. I'm not there to fraternize. I'm not there to make friends. I don't want to talk to the person in line. I don't want to talk to the person next to me in the seat. I get there. I do my own thing. I sit down. I don't bother anybody. Now, do I bend a few rules here and there? Sure. But I'm not harming anyone. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm not wearing shorts. You know what? Wearing shorts on an airplane is worse than smuggling a beer onto an airplane.
Okay, so did anybody wear shorts on this flight?
Did the guy next to you wear shorts? Please tell me this happened.
So when I got to St. Louis, where my connecting flight was, my girlfriend was... I was like the last person. I almost missed this plane, which is why I had to... cut in line a little bit just so I could get a good seat, so I could get off. I was going to miss the connecting flight because the flight was delayed. And so Lindsay already was on the plane. She had saved me a seat. It was a middle seat, but you're not going to complain at that point. Got in there, sat down. I was telling her the story about the shorts thing. And she's like, and she kind of slaps me. She's like, stop. And she's like, don't say that very loud. And I was like, why? And she kind of like nudged, and I looked, and the guy next to me was wearing shorts and flip-flops.
And flip-flops?
And flip-flops.
Both?
And flip-flops, yeah.
Amazing.
But you know what? I found out on the flight home that's even worse than wearing shorts on a plane. People who like bring sandwiches on a plane.
Well, some of the smelly food is gross.
I'm pretty sure the woman next to me was eating like a chicken salad sandwich.
I thought you said tuna for a set. That'd be a terrible one. I'm glad someone was wearing shorts. Good for them. As you should, if you're going to someplace warm.
Should you not have the freedom to wear shorts?
You know what I did,
though? Maybe someone doesn't want to smell your beer on the flight.
Yeah, this is true.
The guy, when I smuggled the beer on, the dude next to me turned around and fist bumped me. He was like, good call. So he didn't care either.
Was that shorts guy?
No. I'll tell you this. I didn't confront shorts guy. Because again, like I said, I'm just going to leave everybody alone. I may be mad about it, but I'm not going to confront you about it because I'm not here to talk to you.
Because if you did, we actually might have a viral video. We might actually have a viral video.
Can you imagine
you
me getting dragged off a plane because I'm fighting with the dude next to me for wearing shorts?
It's like every other viral video in a plane. You're just like, you're still yelling in the way out, take off your shorts and this will be fine.
The thing about it is that guy stunk too. I don't think it had anything to do with the shorts.
The shorts guy stunk?
He stunk. Fortunately, he did not have the super hairy thighs. Because if he would have had the hairy thighs, I would have been like, bro, come on. You got to cover those things up or you got to shave them. Those are your two options. Like, if every man wants
Cody,
to
if
agree
we ever
to
have to fly as a show somewhere
oh
with
my
Nick.
God, it's going to be something.
It's going to be to watch it in person. In fact, I don't know. We probably won't even let you do it. We'll actually make sure. If someone's trying to tap you, we'll be like, oh, we won't let you go. We'll actually be willing to stop you, Nick.
You have two options as a man when you're flying. Wear pants, laser hair removal on your legs. Those are two options.
A lot of other choices between those.
All right, coming up next, though, a new update on a potential Royal Stadium downtown, and the timeline could be a lot quicker than we thought.
This is Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. Check out Nick's Wave in the Wheat podcast with new episodes every Wednesday on the 435 Podcast Network and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.